Yeah.
Well, we have a nice crowd here this morning, and we have some in line still waiting to get their food, so they'll be joining us shortly. Drove back past the training pad this morning coming to work, and it was hopping, so we definitely have a lot of people down there as well.
That's a good sign right there. So we like our in-house folks, but we really like our drivers, especially the new ones. So that's good. So anything else going on that you'd like to mention?
Not that I can think of, but if we do, I'll definitely holler at you.
Good deal. Thank you, Lisa. Take care. Let's move out to West. Let's go out to Salt Lake City, Utah. We have Troy out there.
Good morning. How are you, Dave?
Man, you guys are rocking it again. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic in Salt Lake City.
Looks like you got an rain. Got a little rain, did you?
Yeah, it's been months, and then we finally got a little bit of rain this week, and it's really nice for a change. So it's you know, it's been 100 degrees here more this year than it's ever been in Utah. So we finally got some rain. We got a little bit of cooler temperatures, so we'll only be about 95 today, so it's going to be great.
There you go. You always go with the positive there. That's good. Good to hear. What's going on out there in Salt Lake, buddy?
You know, we got a whole bunch of PSD drivers here. We've got a good local training program. We've got about 25 people working here in our local program, and we're just kicking it, man. We're just continuing to grow and build our student driver program here.
Good deal. You got beautiful facilities too. There's no doubt.
We do, for sure. They've done a great job out here.
Yes, we have. So good job to everybody involved in that. So you got any questions, Troy, any of your folks out there, make sure you holler at us. Love to get you on the mic this morning.
We'll do it. Thank you.
All right. Back here to Springfield, Missouri. Got Steve Field up here. Steve's our safety director. He's been here at Prime about 25 years. Also some very important people over to the right. We've got Richard and Brianne are running our IT side of it so we can be able to have a meeting like this. Also to my left, we've got Andrea Mueller. She's running the Facebook Live. So everything we're talking about here is being blasted out over the internet waves or whatever we call that nowadays. So we have stepped that up as well. So if you're out in Facebook land, you're watching this, make sure you send in your questions. Love to have them, and we'll have numerous speakers today. So,
Facebook and YouTube, Dave.
Oh, YouTube as well. Yes, that is correct. So that's great. So this morning, I'd like to start off, if you're new here to Prime this week, if you're an AC, BC, CC, or you're a PSD student, and you're either any of our terminals, Salt Lake, Pittston, or here in Springfield, if you could please stand, we'd love to give you a round of applause for coming on. All right. Welcome to Prime, everybody. And you're part of our family now. And hopefully you'll like it here and you'll learn lots. There's lots to learn. There's no doubt.
You know, it's great seeing all the new faces, Dave. And, you know, to our new folks up in Pittston, Lisa said the training pad was busy. Troy talked about how busy it was out in Salt Lake City. And right here, we can see a good number of folks. As Dave said, we're glad to see you. Probably one term or one word you're going to hear several times today is the word growth. Growth is important to Prime, and the way we grow is we start at the beginning with our brand new folks, our new operators that are coming in to learn the profession, learn the trucking profession. And I'll tell you, it's a challenge. It's a challenging profession. It's a difficult profession, but we are going to do the absolute best to give you the best training we can, the best equipment we can, the best support that we can, because truck driving is not going away. Don't believe anything about trucks driving themselves and stuff like that. That's not going to happen in my lifetime. We're always going to need good, safe truck drivers. And it's a lot more, as you're going to hear today, it's a lot more than holding the steering wheel and steering the truck going down the road. That's just the beginning. So I'm just going to ask that you listen to what your instructor says. You listen to what your trainer says. Push back if you like. Ask questions. But remember, they've done it. They've been through the program themselves or came to us with experience, and they're sharing that with the next generation coming into our industry. We're extremely proud of the trucking industry. Dave and I are both proud to be truckers. We're proud to call ourselves truckers, and we're going to get you to that point too. So I also just want to welcome our new folks today and just remind you it is going to be challenging. There'll be times you think, I don't know if I can do this. This is really, really hard. Yes, it is hard. And it's hard for a reason, because it is a professional profession. Shouldn't have put those two words together, but it's a challenge. So please listen, do your best out there. And we are glad you're here. And if Dave and I or anyone in the safety department can do anything for you, come see us.
You've got a great support group here at Prime. There's no doubt about it. We've got great facilities. You'll be working on great equipment as well. Our equipment's very new, 3 years old about on all the tractors. Trailers are very new as well. And in-house here, you can see the amenities we have. And Salt Lake mirrors this place, same thing as Pittston does. So Robert Lowe, our owners, kept it consistent, all three different locations. And there's a reason why, because he wants you guys to have the best facilities. To, if you're here and your truck's in the shop, you can do something. You can go work out. You can do whatever you want. Go up to the movie theater. See all that great stuff, and maybe make your stay a little bit more enjoyable than if you didn't have this stuff. And this is really nice, and we're proud of it. But you know, if you need help, just like Steve said, let us know. That's what we're here for. We're here to support you. We're here to make you profitable. We're here to make you safe too, as well. So if you have questions, there's no such thing as a stupid question like a lot of people think there is. There's not. You know, if you question, it's important to you, make sure you raise it to us, your fleet manager, anybody you see, and we should be able to help you out and get that help you need. So how about if we move into some safety?
Sounds good. You know, I'm going to get my mic up here for a few minutes, but let me tell you what we got today. Dave and Dennis Davis, who's making his way up here, they're going to talk about our safety issues today, particularly about roadside inspections. We always review them very closely. It happened to be Dennis's week to review them. So I asked him to kind of take my mic. Then we're going to talk about some cargo claim issues. We've been battling some issues. We've got Stan Allman, one of our operations managers, and Jeff Chisholm, who manages our claims department, cargo claims department. And then after that, we're going to have Terry Wood from the detail shop. We haven't had Terry in a while, and I think it's kind of interesting, really, all the things they can do out there. When you see a truck, I don't know how they got that thing put on. It probably went through Terry and her crew out there. So we're going to find out what she does and what her crew does out there. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it to Dave and Dennis here for the safety portion. Dennis?
All right. Come on up here, Dennis. All right. Let's get rolling here. Let's look at our DOT inspections. DOT inspections are a big part of our safety every week, and we cover these every week, and that's why we do that. We had 137 this past week. 93 of those were clean, so 68% clean rate. That means on every inspection those 93 inspections, there wasn't one violation on there, and that's what we're shooting for. We average about 68, 69%. The last couple of weeks, we've been doing real well. Year-end average, we're about 63%, a little bit less. So, but we, you know, with these numbers keep coming in, upper 60s, low 70s, I would push that 63% up, so.
So real quick, go ahead. What's the industry average? You know, we talk about that, you know, 68% this week and 63% all of 2021. What's kind of the industry average when we look at those?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Dennis. We get the Highway Patrol coming in. As a matter of fact, next Friday, they're scheduled to come in, and they say the average is right around 35% for clean inspections. Our operators do a lot better, and we're very proud of that, and that's what drives that safety culture here.
So good. So what I want to talk about this morning is kind of what the safety department and Prime's, you know, function is when you get these roadside inspections and you send us these examination forms. So, you know, the easy thing to tell you first and foremost right away that the easiest failed inspection is the one you failed to stop at. You know, it's important that you are, you know, planning your trips properly, making sure that you identify where the scales are so they don't catch you by surprise. If you miss the sign that says, you know, roadside inspection 1 mile ahead, or, you know, that was blown over in last week's storm, so it's not there anymore. That doesn't alleviate the fact that you still need to stop. So the easiest failed inspection is the one we don't stop for. So what our process is when you get this inspection, and hopefully it's a clean one, you know, we want you to scan these in right away. Anything you get from law enforcement, whether it's a warning slip, a citation, a driver examination report, we want you to get this to us right away. You know, you've got the Prime mobile app right there in your pocket. You can pull it out before you pull away from that inspection. You can take that picture and have it submitted right away. And what we do is that those go immediately to our citations department. And Jeff Wood and Sarah Vest, they do an excellent job of reviewing every single inspection that's sent in. And like Dave said, you know, it varies from week to week. Could be about, you know, ballpark about 150 a week. And they examine them for citations. And if you're cited, you know, our citations department, you know, will help you get this taken care of. You know, you pay these services out here, you know, $25 a month or wherever the case may be, and they'll help you with a citation wherever it is. Well, you know, that's an amenity that we give you, you know, as a part of your package here at Prime, both lease operators and company drivers, that you don't have to pay anything additional for. From there, our inspections go to the hardest working man at Prime. You know, me, Dave, and Bill, and even Ricky, sometimes when he comes down here, we take turns going through them every week. Steve Field goes through every single inspection every single week, okay? Hardest working man inside of this building. But from there, he turns it over to us, and we kind of take a deep dive, you know, and Dave and I sit next to each other, and if it's something that doesn't look right or we've got some questions about, you know, we don't have a problem bouncing them off each other. You know, Dave is kind of our resident flatbed securement expert. So if there's something that's, you know, flatbed securement related, hey, Dave, take a look at this. What do you think about this? You know, and that starts our process of communicating with the fleet manager and the driver about what the need is. All right. Something I definitely want to talk about is kind of what the process is between officer and driver during this inspection. So, and whenever we're reviewing these inspections, we get this statement every week. You know, one, if we don't get it timely, we're coaching the driver, hey, you know, it's important that we get this in. Well, I didn't think it was a big deal because the officer said he was going to let me off with a warning. And that's, you know, probably good information that officer or that, you know, a DOT inspector didn't give you a citation. But if you take a look at the screen, if you look at that red arrow there, and this is a sample examination report from the state of Arizona, and most of them look about the same with slight deviations. But if you focus on that violation section, okay, it's important that you focus on the violation section, the communication. And I'll give you some sample communication that the officer may have with you. Hey, Prime, you know, I pulled you over because you were, you know, doing a couple miles over the posted limit. Hey, it's your lucky day. You know, I'm going to give you a quick inspection. If everything checks out, I'll give you a warning and let you go on about your business. All right. And everybody in here is thinking, great, you know, because we've got the best equipment. You know, we've got the best trailers. That officer goes through, clears you. Hey, man, great job. You know, your logs look good. Your equipment looks great. Just got your warning here. You have a good day. And you're saying, hey, man, escape this one scot-free. You get back on the road and go about your business. But what he's giving you, okay, is a failed inspection, because it says failed inspection 6 to 10 miles over the posted limit. All right. Now, that officer didn't give you the traditional citation that you're used to that comes with a, you know, potential fine, potential court date, you know, et cetera. But what he did do is give you a failed inspection that, of course, result in CSA points for both driver and carrier. All right. And it's important that you protect your record. And of course, it's important that we protect our record as well. So when we do get these violations, we want to make sure that we get some type of corrective action in place. You know, and of course, whenever we get audited by the FMCSA, we want to be able to prove that we've done some type of corrective action. And typically, if it's something like a 6 to 10 over, you know, I've even seen some that's 1 to 5 over, you know, what we'll do is we'll ask you to come in at some point. I won't say immediately. We don't want to take away from your home time. If you're just coming out, we want to make sure you're getting back and available. But at some point, you're going to need to come through here for whatever the reason, shop, home time, whatever the case may be. Let's get the PSC class done. You know, if it's something a little bit more egregious, maybe like a cell phone violation or something like that, we're going to ask that your fleet manager and the driver sit down with one of the safety supervisors and give you a little bit of coaching, you know, on distracted driving or whatever the case may be. You know, and after that, we get you back on the road as quickly as we can. Available rescinded. It's just so important to us, and it's so important to this company. It's never in our interest to hold you here for days at a time for something like this. This will be a quick process. Typically, we are done with PSC by noon, you know, depending on how crowded the class is, and we'll get you back on the road just as soon as you and your fleet manager are ready to do that. You know, and after that, of course, what we do is we get these sent back to the state. As you can see, most of those will say, hey, get it back to the state within 15 days. We typically get it back within 7. So, you know, if you guys ever have any questions about what this process is, you know, concerning these driver examinations report, you know, I know I kind of rambled on a little bit, but the important things I want you to take from this is we need every single one. If it's a clean inspection, lease operators, we're giving you $100. Company drivers, we're giving you $25. We need every single one as quickly as we can get it so we can get it processed. If the dog ate it, you spill coffee on it, it's illegible, it gets wet because it was raining, that's okay. Let us know. We'll track it down for you so that we can get this properly signed and returned to the state that it was issued. So does anybody have any questions about what happens during a examination report or what our process is? I think we got one over here.
We have some online too.
Okay. What about the CSI scores? How long they stay those points in it for the driver?
I think you said, what about the CSA scores and how long do they stay with the driver? It varies with the violation. Something, you know, that only carries, let's say, a 3-point weight, that would probably only stay with you for 6 months. So every 6 months, the weighted number goes down, and that number will go down. So depending on what the violation is, you know, some of the more egregious ones, the cell phones, the, you know, those stay with you a little bit longer. So
online, someone said, question for safety, driving along, I get a red light. The sign says closed. Do we pull in anyway or drive by?
That's an excellent question. If there's any ambiguity, any gray area, you don't know, go ahead and pull in anyway. There's no harm to that. You know, typically if it's closed, you know, the officer could have forgot to flip the switch, something as simple as that. But if there's any ambiguity, you're confused, you see a line of trucks, you know, but you know, you're getting the green or whatever case may be. If you don't know, go ahead and pull in. If they don't need you, they'll send you on your way.
David said, what are drivers getting hit on the inspections most right now?
Speeding. This past week when I did the inspections, we had a little bit more handheld devices than we like to see. Of course, you know, anytime we get in front of a group of drivers, we talk about, you know, any distractions in the cab, whether it's the phone, the Qualcomm, the GPS, your iPad, your whatever the case may be. It's unlawful to have any handheld device, you know, and we always get the, well, I wasn't texting, I was checking my route. The statutes don't say it's illegal to text. It's the statutes say it's illegal to have a handheld device in your hand while driving down the road.
Jay Johnson said, please clarify about points from a warning ticket from a regular office, not DOT officer. I was told no points if not a DOT officer.
So it's important that you distinguish between points from a state. So the state of Missouri gives you X amount of points for a speeding ticket than what the federal government gives you for CSA points. And, you know, the gentleman over here, you know, when he asked this question, we talked specifically about those FMCSA, you know, commonly known as CSA points that are prescribed to both company and operator during those inspections.
And last question, Jason said, how do we see what our score is?
Just give us a call. Give us a call. We'll go through any violations you have or, you know, happily we'll tell you that your score is 0.
Thanks.
That's what we're shooting for, 0, isn't it?
Always shoot, just like it's like golf. You want the lowest score possible.
That's right. Yeah, and get that $100 for a clean inspection too. That's what pays off. So, by the way, and I don't know if we got your question answered 100%, but if you do get a violation on your inspection, that will stay with the driver for 3 years. So it'll be on your record for 3 years. It's on our record for a carrier for 2 years. So remember, whatever you get out on the road, we get it too as a carrier. So, and that's what they're looking at. That's what the feds are looking at. That's what the state's looking at as well. So any more questions for Dennis, man? He did a good job. Anything else? How about Salt Lake or Pittston? Crickets. So, all right. Oh, yes. Well, this past week, we were quite honored. Missouri Trucking Association announced the Drivers of the Month for the first 6 months of this year. And we had 4 of those drivers from Prime. So Now, these drivers, they have well over a million miles, but what's more important is everything they do to get this award. A lot of it is outside of driving. It's more than just driving a truck. It's volunteering your service for something, doing something else, being involved in the community, church, whatever it may be, which is really hard being an over-the-road truck driver. It makes that very difficult to do. But our February driver of the month was Thomas Miller. Thomas has over 3 million miles here at Prime, safe driving. Our April driver of the month was Jesse Dennis. Jesse's been here many years. He's got over a million safe miles as well. May was Glenn Horak, once again, over 3 million as well. And then June was Charlie Conley, and Charlie is over 3 million, is knocking on 4 million, Steve, safe miles. He's going to be our next 4 million miler. Now, hopefully I didn't jinx him, because Charlie will come back to me. I know he will. But, yeah, they all do an awesome job for us, and we've got many more that have been turned in. Big thanks to Mitch and our marketing department and Andrea for getting those names turned in and filling out those applications, because it takes a lot of work. But there's no doubt we've got a lot of great drivers here at Prime and a lot of safe ones. And these are just four of the tops, no doubt.
Oh, if we had a Hall of Fame, they'd all be in it.
There we go. Well, you can see our hallways. If you look at our million-mile plaques up and down the hallways and floor and over, now we started over at the plaza as well, because we've run out of room in this building. These are all of our safe drivers that we've had million-plus miles, and they're awesome, and we're very blessed to have them, no
well
doubt.
Deserving. Okay, we're going to move on. A topic that we've been discussing internally here recently has been cargo claims, and we've seen a slight uptick, and these are what I would call mostly unforced errors. And by that, I mean it's not that the reefer unit quit. It's that we didn't do some of the basic things we need to do in trucking, primarily make sure that load is secure, make sure the chute is as it should be, and number one, make sure we're running it at the temperature the customer wants us to run it at. So I think it's Stan Allman from our operations department and Jeff Chisholm from our claims department to come up here and kind of talk about some of the issues we've been having with claims. This is part of what we talked about that's more than just driving as a professional driver. You've got the cargo, and that cargo is worth a lot of money. People are expecting it, and the expectation is we'll deliver it at the right temperature. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning, all. You know, cargo claims it's an ugly word in the freight business because it costs the trucking company and costs drivers money. So when can you start preventing a cargo claim? You know, it starts when you receive your load info. So a lot of good information in that load assignment. You know, there's going to be a temperature. There's going to be where the product, you know, picks up and where it delivers. And it's going to probably have a piece count or a pallet count or some sort of give you the numeration of, you know, what's going to be on the load. So make sure you read all that information. You know, also maybe a line in there that says, you know, call for live dispatch. Make sure you talk to your fleet manager before you get to that shipper to pick up that product. So, you know, we get to the shipper and, you know, we've looked at our assignment. There's one key piece in there that I left out. You know, what's my duty at that shipper? You know, is it shipper load and count? Or is it shipper load and driver count? So shipper load and driver count is going to be what a lot of our produce loads are. So produce is our number one loss product, isn't it?
For damage claims, yes.
Yeah, for damage claims. So it's shipper load and driver count. My responsibility is for the loading of that product to make sure it's loaded to ride. And I've counted the pieces on that's on my load assignment. So, you know, pallet count, whatever. And a lot of these produce loads will have multiple products with multiple POs. So the key is you load all the POs and you don't ever leave on a produce load with a not a full trailer. Because most of these produce companies, you know, they lease that whole entire trailer from us for that load and they want to fill it up with all the product they can. So even if you got all your POs and your trailer's not full, call your fleet manager and make sure everything's good to go on that. So, you know, you get done, you know, the most important thing now you're loaded is to read your bills. Again, look at that temperature and look at the bills and what's the temperature on the bills versus what's on your Qualcomm. Anything different there, call your fleet manager immediately. We need to get that lined out because those bills of lading are the legal document. And we're going to run it at the temperature that's on those bills. What if there's no temperature on the bills? Definitely talk to the shipper. Get somebody there to assign a temperature to that load and write it on the bills and sign it or initial it and call us, and we'll have sales check, make sure everything's good to go. Tell you're good to go. You got to set at the right temperature. So any questions so far?
Stan, we have one. Okay. Bob said, why does sales tell us to change a temp when the customer tells us where they want it set?
You know, there are cases where a customer wants something ran special, that, and a lot of them are produce. You know, they may have like 36, but this customer has told us run all these loads at 34. So there is a difference sometimes, but that's why you want to call in, check that, and make sure they get that signed. And you'll also get a message from us that tells you exactly how to run that. So, you know, if the bills say 34 and we know it's supposed to be running, sales tells you 36, set it at 36 once you have that information from us.
And then one more. Mari said, most time they will not let the driver on the dock. So what do you do in that situation?
So it's shipper load and driver count, and they won't let you on the dock. Stop, call your fleet manager. We need to get sales involved, and we'll get that changed to shipper loading count if they're not going to let us on the dock to witness that loading and to witness that count. Because if we don't make that phone call, you know, we could sign for something and leave with the load that's not correct, and we didn't do our due diligence, and we could have a cargo claim in that case. So always stop and call your fleet manager and get that corrected.
And we do want to get that noted on the bill as well. And we've ran across several cases where we haven't been allowed on the dock due to COVID. We want to get the person's name, the reason, and note that on the bill so we have it documented as well as reporting to our group.
Right on.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're loaded and we're departing, making sure we have, you know, seal on the trailer, everything's good, matches the bills. You know, what's the other item you need to get on your trailer before you leave that shipper? Lock. Yeah, you got to get that trailer locked. We want our trailers locked 24/7, 365. Now, the seal can be very important, you know, and this is a good time, I think, because produce and meat are two of our biggest issues when we have on our cargo claim area. And we have a lot of meat loads that are multi-drop. You know, Jeff, you want to talk a little bit about keeping that continuous seal record?
Yeah, our meat loads are probably our biggest shortage claims that we have, and probably one of our pickiest customers. You know, and the seal thing is a challenge. You know, we have to get the in and outbound seal for every stop on these loads. If the receiver won't sign for that seal, then we need to write the seal number on the bills ourselves, initial it, hopefully get a name, put their name, and say refuse to sign. If we don't have a seal record, we have very little to go back on the customer and fight about a shortage claim. And the other thing about these meat loads especially is call from the receiver. We do a lot of steps when we have shortages on these meat loads. These customers will have, you know, they'll call these receivers, they'll go through the product, you know, they know where the product is or where it should be on the pallets. We'll do recounts, they'll get the driver involved. So always report those from the shipper, or excuse me, from the receiver, so we can address those issues.
You bet. Thanks, Jeff. You know, now we've got that product, we got a lock on the trailer, and we're running down the road. We have to drive that truck and that trailer in a safe manner, because you get on some rough roads, you see a railroad track or a curve, make sure you slow down and take it easy, because product can shift in that trailer, you know, and we can force that. And we also have some loads, different protein loads that might be combos. How many people here have hauled a load of combos? Know what we're talking about? A few of you? Yeah, that's one a big issue with combos shifting. You know, we argue back and forth with those customers about how that those combos and how that meat product is loaded. We have a lot of issues with that shifting, especially when you have to hit your brakes if somebody pulls out in front of you or something. So just be really cautious when you're hauling a load of combos. So we arrive at the receiver, you know, once again, on your load assignment, it should tell you, is that receiver unload? Or is that at receiver unload and driver, or is it just driver count, you know, driver unload, driver count? A lot of different options there. Make sure you know what's going on the receiving end also, so you can do your due diligence and be on the dock and be counting it off if you need to be. And then we get unloaded and we got to read those bills again. Did the customer mark the OS&D spot? You know, do we have any issues? Did they talk to you about any issues? And if they did, you know, then you're going to want to call claims, and I'll let Jeff cover that here in a second. But one of the key things you can do when you get unloaded always check your trailer. We have several silly claims every year. And I understand that, you know, people are headed home or whatever. They're in a hurry to get to their next load, you know, and they don't look at their bills and they put like a pallet of meat back on or something like that. And we just shut the trailer, shut the reefer off and shut the doors, shut the reefer off and take off. And all of a sudden we get somewhere and we've got spoiled product. So always check your trailer when you're finished unloading. Make sure that it's empty. No products put on there. Read your bills. Make sure they haven't checked OS&D. And if they have, Jeff, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to call claims. Ideally, we would like you to scan your paperwork and any photos that you have through the cargo app. And then call us. Then we will help you go through that paperwork, you know, find the product numbers that are applicable, report it to our customer, do our due diligence, and, you know, do everything we can to protect ourselves. And one thing about these bill of ladings, you have to be very cautious, especially some of these meat bills. You'll notice that a lot of times they don't make a shortage or a problem really apparent to you. I mean, sometimes they'll have a list of products and they'll just line through, say maybe there's five cases of this, I'll line through it and put a one. Okay, now we're four short. Or they may just change the count. If there's 200 cases on that particular bill of lading, they may just write, you know, 179 received. I mean, those are the things we really have to look for. They're not always obvious, but we have to verify the bills and, you know, report all of those to the customer. And it's another thing with the product on these trailers that when we're not empty, we had one here last week where the bill said, I think it was 231 cases. They signed for 115. Well, obviously we have an issue there. It was dark. The operator couldn't see in the trailer, left and found the product about 8 hours later. So, you know, we had two opportunities there. One was to look at the bill of lading and see that the product was not signed for, and to look inside the trailer. So we had some opportunities to prevent that claim.
Hey, Jeff, we have a question. Mm-hmm. This is from Eric. How come if we fill out a claim on the app, when we call in for the claim number, we have to give the same info on the call?
Currently, the app is not set up to generate a claim in our system. We're using it primarily for retrieving information. So you can send in the bills, you can send in the photos, but we do like that live call. There's just so many things that we like to go over at the receiver. Again, like, you know, for Walmart or meat loads, we want to report that issue to our customer from the receiver. And if you just send everything over the app and maybe we get to that, you know, particular report 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, we may have lost any opportunity to correct the issue at the receiver.
Thank you.
Is that all on those questions?
We do have another question for Stan. It says, why most times when I have an issue and call my fleet manager and notices, it takes forever for them to answer, 20 plus minutes. So some people ask about like calling versus messaging when you have issues. What's the better route?
Well, you know, when you've got like a temperature issue or something like that, or discrepancy in the count, you know, we really, really need to talk to somebody because we need to get that resolved right then and get information. You know, I apologize if you're waiting. You know, it can be busy. It's all a timing issue. You know, our folks do a good job answering the phone timely, but every once in a while, there's a whole bunch of calls that come in at once. But we're doing our best to get to those calls as quickly as possible. You know, and if you're waiting for your fleet manager just on a temperature issue, you can also go through the live loaded call process and call one of those folks, and they can get that process started for you. But always, you know, circle back and talk to your fleet manager before you leave and make sure the issue's resolved.
Thank you.
You know, I want to, Paul, he's paying attention this morning. I'm proud of him because he reminded me that I missed a big issue at the shipper. You know, this isn't easy. Okay. This isn't easy. You know, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot to know and a lot to do. You know, obviously at the shipper, when they're finished loading, if you're involved in that, you always want to get your load locks installed and, you know, block and brace it properly to ride down the road. You know, a good example is Colton. Now, those are shipper load and count, but our driver has to open up the back, inspect it, install their load locks there. So it's a rare case where they are picking up a loaded preloaded trailer, but you've got to open up the load, put your load locks in and secure it before you go down the road. So good example there. And thank you, Paul.
I'd just like to bring up one other issue, and that's preloaded trailers. We pick up so many preloaded trailers at these shippers, and, you know, just really do your due diligence. You know, make sure the trailer is at the right temp. Make sure it's not throwing any codes. It's not out of fuel. You know, we don't want to take a trailer from a shipper that has a problem or a product that could have a problem. You know, we can have that shipper, you know, check the product, make sure it's safe. They can offload it to their dock. They can put it on another prime trailer. But we don't want to take a problem. And another big red flag, I've seen this a couple times recently, and this goes back to set points, where we've sent a set point to a driver that, you know, maybe was incorrect. If you get a 34 degree set point and you go pick up a preloaded trailer and it's preloaded and preset at minus 10, we've got a problem. I mean, either we have the wrong temp or the shipper set it incorrectly. So either way, we need to address those situations before we leave the shipper and take possession of that product and get it straightened out.
You know, and I always want to remind you to use common sense. If you're at an ice cream factory, you're probably not going to have a 34 degree setting. It's going to be minus 20 for sure. So, you know, if you're picking up bananas, you know, once again, it's not going to be minus 10. Obviously, bananas are going to be run between 58 and 60. So just make sure you know your product and get familiar with what temperatures those products are normally ran at. Do we have any other questions?
Yeah. Roberto said, where can we find if it is DCRL or SCL?
That would be in the load information. It should be on the stop-off screens.
The
O1 and then the stop-off screens.
Christopher said, is there any difference between flatbed and reefer claims?
There's a lot of difference. Because,
like in the process, is it the same department that they go through and everything?
Yes, it's the same department. Yeah, we have all of our associates trained in flatbed and reefer. Exact same process. Flatbed, we do things a little bit different. We certainly like a lot more photos, and sometimes we have to send adjusters out to inspect product that may be wet or rusty or damaged.
And last one here, Matthew said, what steer axle weight capacity? Is it axle or tire that determines what we can have on steers?
Sure.
Thanks. Good question. Steer tires, the ones we run are called G-rated tires. They're 14-ply tires. So those tires are rated. And if you look at the side, it's printed on their little raised letters. It says in single tire applications, 6,175 pounds. And so obviously 6,175 times 2 is 12,350. So that's the number. Our axles, current axles right now, rated at 12,500. So if you're in that range, you're okay. Okay. And one of the things we want to talk about on the weight deal is, don't really get too shook up about all these little details. Generally, if you're like me and you start adding up like five digits, 12,380 pounds, you try to put it together with other stuff, you'll just kind of make some mistakes. So kind of round off a little bit. But if you're in that 12,3, even 12,5, you're okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
That's it.
Question way in the back, Bill.
What do you want us doing when we're at a receiver and they have us open the doors and back up to a dock and then they wait 3, 4, 5 hours to start unloading? If it's like an ice cream load?
Right. You need to be calling your fleet manager right away and let him know that you're being delayed. Because
like after 1 hour, 2 hours?
In that situation, I wouldn't go much over an hour because that product's going to start melting on the back. And they need to make sure that they check the bills in. You've got to time in on your bills when you arrived. So we'll have that time in, and you're also your arrival call done correctly. So we have that documented. But yeah, I'd be calling and letting them know they're not unloading me.
Okay.
Especially when it's not a temperature controlled dock and you've got a deep frozen product.
Right. And you might remind that consignee also that the reefer does shut off with the door open. So they're aware of that. So maybe they'll get to you a little quicker.
All right. We're going to wrap this up, but I just want to remind you all, read the bills. Please read your bills. They're so important. What's my destinations? What are my temperatures? And then when you make your live loaded call, we do that for another set of eyes on it. Make sure you have those bills in your hand when you make that call, and let's go through that information again and check it. So you're good to go and we don't have these ridiculous cargo claims. Okay. Appreciate everything you do.
All right. Thank you.
Good information, Steve, wasn't it?
It was.
Now, when you drove, did you look at your app? To make sure everything looked cool, everything was correct.
We used payphones back then.
There, I hear you. So just remember, just a reminder, sometimes we got to go back to old school trucking here. Make sure you look at the bills that the customer gives you and make sure it matches what's on the app. Because sometimes that could be a differential there. Also, Stan and Jeff talked about locking your trailer. Use that Abloy lock. We got them down here in the company store. Security bills back there. He talked about it last week. He spent 15 minutes up here. Abloy lock's the way to go. Don't use those cheaper locks. They're easier for thieves to get into and break open your trailer. Abloy, they got to really work at it, don't they, Bill? So, yep.
That was good information.
Yeah, great information.
You know, overall, you do a fantastic job. Maybe we haul 18, 19,000 loads a week, but the one we're going to talk about on Thursday when the departments meet with Robert and we're going to talk about that one load we got the temperature wrong on. That's the one that we remember. That's the one the customer remembers. We delivered, I don't know, maybe 700 Tyson loads last week, but they want to know why was that one not run at the proper temperature. So thanks to Jeff and Stan for coming up. Dave and I and Dennis, we sit right next to the cargo claims folks. I'll tell you, they're all in. They know their job. They're there to help you. We have cargo claims coverage at night now. So literally 24/7, you can always get answers on cargo claims. And that go-to person is your fleet manager. Your fleet manager's aligned with you. As a lease operator, there can be a financial disincentive for not running a load at the right temperature. And that also impacts your fleet manager. So you're not bothering him or her when you call and say, I just want to double check this temperature. You told me 34, but like Stan said, I went there and the reefer was the trailer was preloaded and they got it at minus 20. Should I change it to 34? Probably not, but call into your fleet manager. So thanks, you guys. Terry, come on up. As promised, we've got Terry Wood from the detail shop, and they do a lot more than detailing. And Terry made up a few slides here for us. And sometimes I forget all the things they can do down there. She's got a great crew of folks, and well, they can do some amazing things with our trucks. Terry? Well,
thank you very much. Yeah, I think everybody realizes, you know, we're the ones who detail the interior of the trucks, but not everybody realizes all the other services we provide. We've got an installation department down there. We do the refrigerators, satellite systems, TVs, cell phone boosters, air guns, you name it. If it's an extra, we can probably install it for you. We also do the storage boxes, mud flap chain rack holders, basically just anything that makes life on the road a little bit easier. I think most people know that, but yeah, if you get a refrigerator, I'm the gal to see. The main area that we have that I don't think people are really aware of is our interior body shop. I get calls nearly every day, you know, my pet got my armrest or my seat cushion. How much is a new seat going to cost me? We can replace the cushion. Don't go out and buy an $800 or $1,000 seat. The cushion's $75. We can replace the armrest. We can either repair, recover, worst case scenarios, replace. And like I said, $75 versus a whole new seat. Don't do it. Same thing with curtains. Curtains are notorious. Those bunk curtains, you pull them over and they pull loose up at the track. We can repair that. We can fix it. Snaps, buttons on your side window curtains, all things that are fixable. You get a cut in your floor mat, don't replace the floor mat. We can fix it. Now, obviously, you know, you get a hole this big, we can't do that. But most things we can repair, even headliners, little holes like that. One thing I do want to point out is we do screw holes and bolt holes. $5 for a screw hole, $10 for a bolt hole. It's in the leasing contract, I think, somewhere that everybody, you're responsible for holes in your truck. So people get around that by using super glue. We charge $60 to start for super glue removal. That's where we start. However big the space is, it goes up from there. Do the screw hole. I'll fix it for you. I promise. Interior bodies also, it's no appointment necessary. First come, first serve, daytime only. Pull up to Bay 11. Those boys will take care of you. In addition to interior body, a lot of people don't realize that we do the undercarriage steaming. That is something we do at night, Monday through Friday. We start at 4 p.m. It's, again, first come, first serve, pull up, they take care of you. That's a really good feature to do from time and again, just to make sure you can see you don't have any leaks, anything going on under there. Another thing is that fifth wheel. Shop will send a lot of folks to us. Their fifth wheel's not locking correctly. Those jaws, they get gummed up, need to be steamed out. So that's something we can do. Pet wash. The pet wash is located down at the detail shop. That is available. You can get into it 24/7. The last thing I wanted to bring up that a lot of people don't realize is that we have storage out at the detail shop. I apologize, it is upstairs, but they are 3 feet wide, 3 feet deep, and 4 feet tall cages. They are free of charge for 60 days. Come see us, and we're happy to set you up with that. If for any reason that's not going to work for you, you need longer term or things that won't fit in there, we do have, it's Sunwest Storage. We do a lot of business with those folks. They give us discounts. They're truck friendly. Great couple gals who run that. So we're happy to set you up with them as well. So
we have some questions. David said, why aren't there boxes for international trucks?
We're going to have to ask international, which I have.
We don't know, but we'll find out. Jenny said, how much is it? Will it cost for an install of a CB, full install?
Full install is $55.
David said, what about torn curtains up at the snaps?
Up at the snaps, $60.
David Allen said, what about better channel selections on Epic View? Who do they go to? Talk about that. That doesn't go through you.
It does not go through me.
What about storage doors?
Storage doors.
I don't know what that means.
I need some clarification.
Okay. I think that's it. Jay Johnson said, do they install CB and antenna?
CB is $55. Antenna is going to be another. That'll be $110.
You're answering these two quickly. Robert said, detail install half fenders, question mark.
No.
Do you peak and tune CBs?
No.
Okay. Do you want to win $1 million?
I do. I'm in on that.
Frenchy said, can you fix loose dash panels that rattle in the bunk? No. They're right.
We would have to look at it.
Okay. And last question, Charles Smith said, can you check SWR on CB? We don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. And Alex said he meant cabinet doors.
Oh, cabinet doors. Holes, yes. If it's normally those are little tabs and clips that break, and that would end up being the shop, they'd have to replace that.
And then Roberto said, how much is it to install bull rack on a lightweight for a reefer truck?
What does he mean by bull rack?
Why are these questions so hard? for storage use. I don't know.
He's a reefer truck. If he's talking about a headache rack, maybe.
Maybe.
And I can't put those on reefer trucks. A reefer unit gets into them and it will.
Perfect.
We would love to, but we can't.
All right. I think that's it. And you have a list of all the charges or all the costs.
All the extras that we provide and what we, yes.
We'll put that on the app this week so you guys can see that.
That should be in leasing. If they go to the leasing site, it should list all that. Leasing as well as fleet manager should have copies of that.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That's all I've got.
Any other questions for Terry while we've got her? Okay. Thanks, Terry. Thank you. Appreciate you coming up. You know, those folks do work hard down there, and you know, that truck, you're in it 250, 300 days a year. Make it nice. Get that TV, get that refrigerator. And of course, the choice is yours, but they do some really good work down there. Couple of things I want to cover before I forget. Dave already mentioned it. For next week, we always like to put out, if we know ahead of time, what we're going to have. And we're going to have a couple of really good speakers next week. In fact, three. We've got Captain Kelly and Major Turner from the Missouri Highway Patrol coming. We haven't had them since COVID started. It's always a really interesting program. It's a chance to informally ask them questions. They're easy guys to talk with. They're not intimidating. No, Captain Kelly's about 6'6".
6'7", yeah. He's tall man, but yeah.
But he's skinny. So we'll be okay. And then his boss, Major Turner, and they enjoy coming to Prime. So we'll have them. And also next week, we're going to have Dr. Abraham from Trinity Health, kind of just summarizing again where we are with COVID, answer your questions on the vaccine, answer your questions about the Delta variant. And so we're not going to really talk about that. I'm not going to talk about it today. We'll have Dr. Abraham next week, the professional, talk about that. So I want to do one more thing before I pass the mic here. Dennis, come on up. You knew I was going to call on you today. You just knew
that. He's been looking at us.
Yes, he's been watching us. All right. First thing I want you to do, I want you to give everyone the 30-second Dennis biography. Who you are, where you come from, how you got here.
Okay, so I'm a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. I spent a few years, quite a few years, out in the Marine Corps in the IT industry. Always wanted to drive. Prime looked like the good opportunity. So it was a seriously late life career change for me, and I've been here 3.5 years.
Super. So the big question, East Coast Marine or Hollywood Marine?
The best, Hollywood.
There you go, Robert. Hollywood Marine. Well, we appreciate your service. We appreciate your time here, Dennis. And I would like you to ask me to do one thing for me. Would you ask all the veterans to stand and be recognized this morning?
Sure. Thank you. Would all the veterans in the house stand and be recognized, please? Thank you.
We appreciate your service to our country and to our company, Dennis. Thanks for coming up this morning. You betcha. Thanks. Now I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic here, but I just want to just summarize just a couple of things Dave said in the very beginning. We do these meetings every week. And for our new guys, you can't be in here every week, but we work real hard through Andrea and Mitch to make it available when you're out on the road to watch them. You can watch them past tense too. You didn't have a chance on Friday morning, but you've got a little time on Saturday. You can go to the app and watch it. You can go to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page. You can watch it. You can put comments there. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear about. Tell us what we did wrong. We're not perfect. We want to learn. But our job up here each week is to be informative to you, to answer your questions, to give you information, to share information so we can be the best trucking company we can possibly be. You know, we hear it a lot that we're good. We're really good. But what you hear is we're not perfect. Obviously, with cargo claims, we're not perfect. We can get better. You do damn good. But let's just get those last couple ones that gives Jeff Chisholm and his group that heartache every week. So thank you for everything that you do. We're heading into the weekend. Please be safe out there. The four-wheelers are out there. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of pent-up demand for four-wheelers to go on vacation, for all of us to go on vacation. So it's going to be crowded. Remember, you're following distance, an appropriate speed, and don't be distracted in the cab. Be ready for anything that they throw at you out there. So thanks for everything that you do. Wanting to ask Steve Wutke, our Vice President of Sales and Marketing, to come up and start kind of closing out the meeting.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Good to see you all today. I'm in sales, but you all are really in sales too. And safety. You know, we call this a safety meeting, but really, as you can tell, we cover a lot of different things in this meeting. Man, we're proud of our company, and we thank you all for trusting us and coming to join us. The thing is, we're just not perfect, you know. We got a long ways to go to get there, and we think these meetings really help us. We get some good feedback. You know, like that gentleman that was asking about the ice cream back there, would you see me after the meeting? Because I'd like to know that location. That would really help us. So we can work with that shipper receiver. You know, that ice cream melts pretty quick, and they don't want those crystals on it when it gets in the store. So, we learn a lot from these meetings, and we thank you all for participating. We're lucky today. We've had the owner of our company, Robert Lowe. He's been on the injured reserve, and if he talks in my backswing again, we'll get that other arm. You want to come on up here, Park, and you come on up and share a little bit? This is a guy that kind of had this idea a long time ago to become a trucker, just like you all. Started with one truck, had a little luck along the way, a little tough luck along the way, but learned a lot. He learned that it's all about people. It's all about how we treat people with respect and to make sure that you make a living here. So that's kind of our guidelines. Do your best, do what's right, treat others the way you want to be treated. Robert, good to see you up and around, man.
Man, I didn't know you could even hear me when you were in your backswing. But I'm telling you one thing. both shoulders are years are going to be hurting if you try something. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, it's good to see y'all. Our new folks here, folks wearing the vest, and new folks that aren't wearing the vest, welcome. You made a good decision. If you find that things aren't going your way or things aren't as represented, you let us know. You let me know personally, and we'll get it fixed. Because, you know, it's really all about drivers. You know, whether you're talking about safety and preventing accidents, preventing cargo claims, and it's all about you all. I mean, you all and your predecessors in this company have built it. You know, Steve and I'd like to take all the credit, but that's a lie. You know, we're at home sleeping in our cozy little beds every night, and you all are out there, you know, making it happen, you know, finding a truck stop where you can take a shower, missing a lot of things that are important in life, graduations, birthdays. You know, a lot of those things are sacrificed. Now, we try to get you home, and we're getting home more than ever, and we're going to even do better. But, you know, the reality is it's a tough occupation. It can be very rewarding. There again, not only more home time than ever, but more compensation than ever. We're making some, our drivers are making some bank. Let me tell you something. Am I lying, Steve?
No, we're doing really well.
Well, we can still do better. We still get
better. Yeah. I got you. We're not done yet. I mean, I'm just saying in the reality sense of where we've been.
Okay, well, let's get those rates up.
I hear you.
Let's get these guys to pay for the tolls.
I hear you. It's good to have you back. See, I've been uninspired. I get it now. You go to the whip. Yeah.
See, he's pretty good, but he just needed a lot of guidance.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? He needs a lot of
slow learner.
Yeah.
And so, hey, just a minute. I want to tell you all that are new. This is a very dangerous profession. Put all the joking aside, and you've heard it. Our highest calling here is safety, and you just gotta be ready to go every time you get behind the wheel. You can't be half asleep. You can't be you know, thinking about other things. You really got to focus on what your job is, because there are a lot of crazy people out there, and we need you to be safe. That's our highest calling. So I just wanted to get that in there, Robert. No, go ahead.
That's very good. That's very good. You know, any questions for me? I hope they're just easy.
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
When are you going to get that arm out of the sling, man?
Oh, man, when it comes out of here, you better watch out. that right hand.
I think I got a while before I have to worry about that.
Anyway, no, I'm getting better now. So
we have one.
I would comment on Jeff Chisholm in our claims area, too. You know, he's got a team and they're protecting our drivers. They're trying to protect our shippers as well, our customers. But, you know, our primary interest is mitigating losses. Nobody wins in a loss. So Jeff and his team do a terrific job. I just want to get that out there for those folks that aren't here. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Chris said, hey, I have a question. Is Prime moving towards switching part of our trailer pool to Thermo King reefers?
Yeah, we're trying Thermo King. They've got good products. You know, we haven't done really significant business with them on the reefers for 25 years, maybe 30. We've been strictly carrier people. We got involved with them on the APUs. They perform. Oh, you're asking
you
me?
Have to look at me.
Oh, look at the camera. Oh, I'm not used to this. Okay.
Been a while. You've been off.
It is. But so they've worked their way back in. They've kind of apologized for you know, some stuff that went way back and performed pretty well. I think I can say that on the APUs. So we're giving them a try. And, you know, I think they're going to be beneficial to us.
Yeah, and Wayne's back here probably at our meeting. He comes about every Friday trying to get just a little bit deeper, right? So thank you for being here. Actually, all of our providers are over here. So thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah, and we appreciate our vendors. Do a fantastic job.
James said, is there any update for a yard with bathrooms at Fontana?
No, I don't have an update for you. But it's noted.
This one's
I could address that in a kind of an overall sense. Robert has directed us to look at all of our locations and make sure that we have secure locations there, and we got to do things just a little bit better at some of these drop yards. So Bill and his team are evaluating some of the other locations where we have yards, Florida, Georgia, I'm sure California is on that list, Texas. So we're looking at opportunities to improve those locations.
You got some on that, Bill?
Yeah, the last pictures I saw, they do have them at this time. In fact, they have a driver lounge out there and everything for drivers to go into.
At Fontana?
Yes.
Thank you. Last one. This one's a tough one. I have a question. Company drivers keep getting raises. When will lease get a raise?
Wow. That's an easy one. That is not.
That's low hanging fruit right there.
Yeah. You know, our net revenue per mile, you know, our company drivers got 2 cents, I think, and maybe some other things, but our lease operators get 72% of 22 cents net more recently year over year. So, you know, our lease operators have done quite well.
Well, we know that too, based off the fact that our drivers are taking more time off. So we know their earnings are up there. Now, that's a good thing. Like this morning, I just saw our numbers. I think we were like 73.5% of our total available equipment was up and running. That number used to be about 82-83% last year. So that tells us that our drivers are doing well and they're able to take more time off and have a better lifestyle of living. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. A really good thing.
But
we can sure use the capacity.
That's the other side of it.
And our customers.
That's why we got to grow that fleet size. And our customers need us because we're shortfalling on some of our commitments just because of the total available percent of trucks out there. So we've got some challenges, but we'll meet them.
And we're making progress. That's why you need drivers for many reasons, but capacity, you know, we need to grow into this marketplace and take care of these customers' needs. Folks, I appreciate it. It's good to see you. You know, I can't thank you enough for what you do. God bless each of you, and please be safe.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Nice to see you too, Robert.
Sounds like you're feeling better. Don't forget, today is also D. Thomas's last day. If you get a chance to go for a county. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Dennis. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Yes, sir.